The Ways and Means Committee will come to order. Rosa, please call the roll.
Chair McLean.
Here.
Vice Chair Buchanan.
Here.
Majority Whip Lamarcus.
Here.
Ranking Member Escalante.
Here.
Representatives Alvarez, excused, Bankson.
Here.
Barnaby.
Here.
Burfield.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Caruso.
Here.
Casello.
Here.
Duggan.
Here.
Fabricio.
Here.
Hart.
Here.
Holcomb.
Here.
Hillebrew.
Yes, ma'am.
Rayner.
Here.
Roach.
Present.
Robinson.
Here.
Roth.
Here.
Saroy.
Here.
Smith.
Here.
Tant.
Here.
Valdez.
Good morning, present.
A quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Rosa. I want to remind everyone to silence all your electronic devices. Members, I'm going to take just a point of privilege real quick. I have a couple of folks that are here visiting from Marion County. One of them is my son, Zachary. Friend Christian Cronkite is here, and also Garrett Moore is here with us. It's Marion County day to day, and they work for the county government down in Marion County. But welcome to the Florida House. Thanks for being here, and of course, the one on the Zachary, wait, raise your hand. The one that looks like me. What are you talking about? And my lovely wife is here too, but you all have seen her before. So.
I would have led with that.
Huh? But anyway, thank you, members. We'll get right into it. Members, we're going to be doing some air traffic control. We've got members shuffling in and out, but we're going to get to, we're going to recognize PCS for HB 1105 by Representative Caruso. You're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair. And before I get started, does that mean we're, you guys are going out to dinner? We're all going out to get to dinner tonight?
You're buying.
I'll buy.
Okay. We're
if
going.
We get this bill through, I'll buy. Well, thank you, Chair. Thank you, Vice Chair Buchanan, Ranking Member Escalante, for hearing PCS 1105. Florida law requires a taxpayer applying for a homestead exemption for the first time to apply to the property appraiser before March 1st, listing and describing the property for which the exemption is claimed and certifying its ownership and use. This bill allows a taxpayer who files a homestead exemption application to rescind the application between August 1st and September 15th as the same taxable year in which he or she filed the homestead application. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Caruso, for that explanation. Members, are there questions on the bill? See no questions. There are no amendments. Public testimony, Bob McKee, Florida Association of Counties, is waiving in support. That is all the public testimony. Is there anyone in the public that didn't sign up and would like to speak? Seeing none, Representative Caruso. Oh, members, we are in debate. Ranking Member Escalante, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to say thank you, Caruso. I think this PCS is really common sense, and it reflects what a lot of property appraisers already do, but, you know, provides that codification. And we have so many snowbirds that decide to come live in Florida who might have that second home here. So I just want to say thank you for your work on the PCS.
In debate, members. Oh, seeing none. Representative Caruso, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to thank Vince Aldridge for all of his hard work on this and your work and concern over getting this bill just right. With that, I close.
Thank you. Representative Caruso, having closed on his bill, Rosa, please call the roll on proposed committee substitute for House Bill 1105 and announce the vote.
Chair McLean.
Yes.
Vice Chair Buchanan.
Yes.
Majority Whip Lamarcus.
Yes.
Ranking Member Escalante.
Yes.
Representatives Alvarez, Bankson.
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Burfield?
Yes.
Campbell?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Hillebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Rayner? Roach? Yes. Robinson?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Valdez? 21 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you, Rosa. Members, by your vote, we will show PCS for House Bill 1105 will be reported favorably. Members, now we will move on to CS for House Bill 1065, Substance Abuse Treatment, by Representative Caruso. Representative, you're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair. Members, over the last 6 years, I've brought forward legislation aimed at improving the sober home industry, increasing transparency, improving quality of care, and punishing bad actors in the industry. This legislation aims to do the same. First, this bill clarifies the law regarding the tourist tax being improperly applied to sober homes by stating clearly that treatment centers are not to be taxed under the transient tax. Second, the bill details the four levels of certified recovery residences, outlining the scope of each level. Finally, the bill adds to last year's HB 783, which created the Opioid Council to dispense funds to from the opioid settlement to affected communities. And that is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you for the explanation, Representative Caruso. Members, are there questions on the bill? No questions. There is an amendment to the bill. We'll now take up Amendment 1 by Representative Caruso. Representative, you're recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Chair. The amendment removes the revenue impacts of the bill by removing the provision of the bill providing an exemption from state and local taxes on transient rentals of recovery residences. That is the amendment, sir.
Thank you, Representative, for that explanation. Members, are there questions on the amendment? There are no amendments to the amendment. Is there public? There is no public testimony on the amendment. Is there anyone in the public that did not sign up to speak that would like to speak? Seeing none. Members, we are in debate on the amendment. Representative Caruso, you're recognized to close on your amendment.
I'll waive close.
Members, are there any objections to the amendment? Without objection, so the amendment adopted. Members, we are on the bill as amended. Is there public testimony on the bill as amended? There is. Natalie Kelly, Florida Association of Managing Entities, waves in support. Barney Bishop, Florida Smart Justice Alliance, waves in support. Thank you. That is everyone that signed up to speak. Is there anyone in the public that would like to speak on the bill as amended? Seeing none. Members, is there debate on the bill as amended? Representative Tant, you are recognized in debate.
I just wanted to thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to say once again to you what I texted you the other night is that I will never forget at my freshman term you talking about your son and his struggles and how deeply you touched me with that. And so I applaud you for continuing to advocate for this, and I'm so grateful. So I'll be up on the bill, and thank you for bringing it.
Members in debate. Seeing none, Representative Caruso, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Chair. Just wanted to thank Rep. Tant for her comments. It's a daily concern, but a very successful, happy ending story. Thank you. With that, I close.
Very good. Representative Caruso, having closed on his bill, Rosa, please call the roll on committee substitute for House Bill 1065 and announce the vote.
Chair McClain?
Yes.
Vice Chair Buchanan?
Yes.
Majority Whip Lamarca?
Yes.
Ranking Member Escamani?
Yes.
Representatives Alvarez, Bankson?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Burfield?
Yes.
Campbell?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Hillebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Rayner? Roach?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Valdez? 21 yeas, 0 nays.
Members, by your vote, we will show CS for House Bill 1065 reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Representative. Members, now we'll move on to three bills by Representative Andrade. Representative Andrade, you're welcome to explain House Bill 1573, Pace Fire Rescue District. You're recognized.
Thank you very much, Chair. Members, House Bill 1573 modifies the Pace Fire Rescue District's method of collecting revenue from an ad valorem to a non-ad valorem assessment.
Members, are there any questions on the bill? There are no amendments to the bill. There is no public testimony. Is there anyone in the public that would like to speak that did not sign up to speak? Seeing none. Debate on the bill, members. We're in debate. Seeing no debate. Representative, you're recognized to close on the bill.
Wave close, Chair.
Representative Andrade, having closed on his bill, Rosa, please call the roll on House Bill 1573 and announce the vote.
Chair McClain?
Yes.
Vice Chair Buchanan?
Yes.
Majority Whip Lamarca?
Yes.
Ranking Member Escamani?
Yes.
Representatives Alvarez, Bankson?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Burfield?
Yes.
Campbell?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Hillebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Rayner? Roach?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Valdez? 21 yeas, 0 nays.
Members, by your vote, we will show House Bill 1573 reported favorably. Members, now we will move on to House Bill 1575, Avalon Beach, Malott Fire Protection District by Representative Andrade. You're recognized to explain your bill, Representative.
Thank you very much, Chair. Members, House Bill 1575 modifies the Avalon Beach Malott Fire Protection District's method of collecting revenue from an ad valorem tax to a non-ad valorem assessment.
Members, are there questions on the bill? There are no amendments. There is no public testimony. Is there anyone in the public that would like to speak that didn't sign up to speak? Seeing no one. Members, we're in debate. No debate. You're recognized to close, Representative Andrade.
We have closed, Chair.
Representative Andrade, having closed on his bill, Rosa, please call the roll on House Bill 1575 and announce the vote.
Chair McClain?
Yes.
Vice Chair Buchanan?
Yes.
Majority Whip Lamarca?
Yes.
Ranking Member Escamani?
Yes.
Representatives Alvarez, Bankson?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Burfield?
Yes.
Campbell?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Rayner? Roach?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Valdez? 21 yeas, 0 nays.
Members, by your vote, we will show House Bill 1575 reported favorably. We will move on now to House Bill 1577, Midway Fire District, by Representative Andrade. You're recognized to explain your bill, Representative.
Thank you very much, Chair. Not to come off a little bit too much like Groundhog Day, but House Bill 1577 modifies Midway Fire District's method of collecting revenue from an ad valorem tax to a non-ad valorem assessment.
Thank you, Representative, for the explanation. Are there questions on the bill? Are there amendments to the bill? There are no amendments. There is no public testimony. There is no public testimony. Is there anyone in the public that did not sign up to speak that would like to speak? Seeing none, members, were in debate. No debate on the bill. Representative, you're recognized to close.
We have closed.
Thank you. Representative Andrade, having closed on his bill, Rosa, please call the roll on House Bill 1577 and announce the vote.
Chair McClain?
Yes.
Vice Chair Buchanan?
Yes.
Majority Whip Lamarca?
Yes.
Ranking Member Escamani?
Yes.
Representatives Alvarez, Bankson?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Burfield?
Yes.
Campbell?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Fabricio? Yes. Hart?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Rayner? Roach? Yes. Robinson?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Valdez? 21 yeas, 0 nays.
Members, by your vote, we will show House Bill 1577 reported favorably. Congratulations on the trifecta. Members, we will now move on to House Bill 1297, Affordable Housing in Counties Designated as Areas of Critical State Concern by Representative Mooney. Representative Mooney, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Members and Committee. House Bill 1297 is Affordable Housing in Areas of Critical State Concern. It has multiple components to it, all of which pertain to workforce housing. The bill clarifies that the city of Key West is included in the 24-hour evacuation model and that mobile homes are included in the 48-hour evacuation model. The bill allows for a one-time use only of tourist development tax surplus to be used for tourism sector workforce housing. The bill also provides for a temporary 5-year exemption from the SHIPS program, mandatory distribution across income categories. Monroe County is experiencing problems qualifying people in the two lower categories. The exemption will allow 100% of the funds to help more families in the moderate income family category if they cannot be used in the other two categories. The bill will allow the county to provide an ad valorem tax exemption for small residential properties that rent affordably. The bill exempts Monroe County from certain affordable housing development related statutory requirements, specifically density bonuses and the automatic allowance of housing development in commercial zones when it includes 10% affordable housing. That conflicts with the strict environmentally based development regulations. And finally, the bill amends Monroe County Land Authority powers related to qualifying buyers from homeownership and ensuring that affordable housing is protected in perpetuity, and that is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Representative Mooney, thank you for the explanation. Members, are there questions on the bill? Any questions on the bill? All right, there is an amendment to the bill. Representative Mooney, you're recognized to take up Amendment 1.
This amendment does two things. First, it fixes a drafting area that added single-family homes and duplexes to the types of properties that could potentially qualify for the existing local option affordable housing property tax exemption for projects statewide when the intent was for only to apply to Monroe County. Second, the amendment makes wording changes more clearly allowed Second, the amendment makes wording changes to more clearly allow for local option affordable housing exemptions to apply to projects with fewer than 50 units in Monroe County. These changes are needed because the unique land development restrictions in Florida Keys, which do not allow for more traditional large-scale affordable housing, and that is the amendment.
Representative Mooney, having explained his amendment, members, are there questions on the amendment? Any questions on the amendment? All right, seeing none. There are no amendments to the amendment. There is no public testimony on the amendment. Is there anyone in the public that would like to speak on the amendment? Seeing none. Debate on the amendment, members. There is no debate. Representative Mooney, you're recognized to close on your... I'm sorry. Representative Banks, and you're recognized on the amendment in debate.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Rep. Manny, for bringing this. Again, as I mentioned to you, just typically, especially in my area, I hate dipping into TDTs and robbing Peter to pay Paul. This is very different. It's limited, focused, and needed. And I just thank you for shepherding your district in the way that you do. So I'm up on this bill.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Debate, members. Representative Mooney, you're recognized to close on
Wave
the amendment.
Close.
Members, are there any objections to the amendment? Without objection, show the amendment adopted. Members, there is an additional amendment. Representative Mooney, you are recognized to explain Amendment 2.
Thank you, Chair. The amendment makes some wording changes to more clearly to provide that accumulated surplus tourist development taxes and tourist impact taxes in Monroe County, as of the end of this fiscal year, will be used for specific affordable housing that will be available to employees of tourism-related businesses. Housing that is financed by these funds must be used to provide affordable housing for 99 years. These changes are technical in nature and just ensure this one-time funding for affordable housing works as intended, and that is the amendment.
Representative Mooney, having explained the amendment, members, are there any questions on the amendment? There are no amendments to the amendment. There is no public testimony on the amendment. Is there anyone in the public that didn't sign up that would like to speak to the amendment? There are none. Is there a debate on this amendment? Seeing none, Representative, you're recognized to close.
Wave close.
Members, are there any objections to the amendment? Without objection, so the amendment adopted. Members, we are now on the bill as amended. There are no additional amendments to the amendment. We are in public testimony on the bill as amended. Robert Reyes, Monroe County. Waves in support. Oh, yeah, thank you. Yep, waving in. Thank you, Robert. Jeff Scala, Florida Association of Counties, waves in support as well. That is everyone that signed up to speak. Is there anyone that did not sign up that would like to speak to the bill? Seeing none. Members, is there a debate on the bill as amended? Ranking Member Escamani, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to say thank you, Rep. Mooney, for being such a champion for your community. And also, I'm very happy to see the flexibility to TDT. I know it's a one-time effort, but in Orange County, we definitely can relate. And have been having really strong conversations locally about what can we do for TDT to be more flexible, to be focused on workforce housing. And so I just applaud you for finding that common ground and really excited about yes on this bill. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. In debate, members, any debate? Representative Mooney, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Chair. I'll be brief. First of all, I'd like to really thank the staff who worked very hard to get, to put us in a posture where we're here today. That's been very, very effective for us, and I really appreciate the help that we received from that. And, this is a one-and-done scenario for Monroe County. We really don't want to see these kind of surpluses and that tip tax again. That means something bad happened, unfortunately. But the fact that we're going to guarantee that workforce housing stays in perpetuity, doesn't turn to vacation rentals, is used for the intent that it's supposed to be. Thank you. I look forward to your vote.
Representative Mooney, having closed on his bill, Rosa, please call the roll on committee substitute for House Bill 1297 and announce the vote.
Chair McClain.
Yes.
Vice Chair Buchanan.
Yes.
Majority Whip Lamarca.
Yes.
Ranking Member Escamani.
Yes.
Representative Alvarez. Bankson?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Burfield?
Yes.
Campbell?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Rayner? Roach?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Valdez? 21 yeas, 0 nays.
Members, by your vote, we will show CS for House Bill 1297 reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you, Chair.
Members, now we will move on to House Bill 337, Sales Tax on Motor Vehicle Leases by Representative Roth. Representative, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Yes, sir, Chair. Thank you for this opportunity. If you don't mind, I'll stay seated at my desk.
Okay.
So HB 337, Sales Tax on Motor Vehicle Leases and Rentals. I want to start off by apologizing to the committee. The reason I did not text you as normal and give you all the details of this bill is because this bill is basically a glitch bill. This is a bill I ran last year, and I thank the chair for allowing me to present it today. It really is a very simple bill. HB 337 simplifies the way the state collects sales tax on a vehicle when it is purchased as a long-term lease vehicle. Now, vehicle leases were designed for fleet vehicles, which are usually bigger vehicles. So currently, when one of the leasing companies purchases a truck with a GVW of 10,000 pounds or more for the purpose of leasing, they have the option to pay sales tax one time or every month for the entire life of the lease. However, if the same leasing company purchases a car weighing less than 10,000 pounds, GVW, for the same purpose of leasing, they cannot pay the sales tax one time. This bill simply allows the same one-time upfront payment option for all vehicles, regardless of weight. And, Chair, that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative Roth, for that explanation. Members, are there questions on the bill? Any questions? Representative Campbell, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I couldn't miss on this opportunity to ask Representative Roth a question. Representative Roth, regarding your bill, what is the need for this bill currently as it stands?
Representative Roth, you recognize?
Say again, what is the purpose?
Yes, sir.
The purpose of the bill is to allow a leasing company to treat all their vehicles the same, whether it's a small vehicle or a large vehicle. They can elect to pay sales tax when they purchase the vehicle, or they can elect to pay sales tax on the leasing of the vehicle on a monthly basis. So obviously paying the sales tax once is actually a preferred bookkeeping decision. The good news is this also has a positive fiscal impact.
You're recognized for a follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And what is that positive fiscal impact?
I believe I'm trying to find it on my iPad. I think it's about $10 million.
Members, are there any other questions? Any other questions? Rep. Campbell, you have another question? Any other questions of the sponsor? Seeing no further questions, we're on amendments. Is there any amendments? Seeing no amendments, we're in public testimony. Up first, we have Leslie Doogie with Enterprise Mobility, waving in support. Up next, we have Richard Pinsky with Element Leasing, waving in support. Any further public testimony? Seeing no further public testimony, members, we're in debate. Is there any debate on the bill? Ranking Member Escamani, you are recognized.
Thank you so much, Vice Chair. I said, Rip Roth, this is a pretty complicated issue, at least for the REC, so I applaud you for, you know, carrying the bill. And there's been some challenges in trying to figure out what is that fiscal impact, but it seems pretty modest. And to your point, it seems designed to try to just meet different needs of different entities and how they purchase and when they purchase their vehicles. Seems more about timing than anything else for me. So I think it's a bill that is definitely worthy of support. So thank you, Chair.
Members, is there any further debate? Any further debate? See no further debate. Representative Roth, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, and I'll just briefly state the revenue estimating conference for 24-25, the impact is plus $9.1 million and then minus $1.1 recurring because you're paying it all up front rather than on a monthly basis. With that, I close.
Rosa, please call the roll.
Chair McLean. Vice Chair Buchanan?
Yes.
Majority Whip LaMarca?
Yes.
Ranking Member Escamani?
Yes.
Representatives Alvarez? Bankson?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Burfield?
Yes.
Campbell?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Costello?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Rayner? Roach?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Valdez? 20 yeas, 0 nays.
Members, by your vote, show the bill is reported favorably. Up next, we're going to be hearing from our very own Representative Bankson. Representative Bankson, you are recognized to present CS for HB 769, Assessment of Renewable Energy Sources. Devices, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In 2013, HB 277 created 193.624 Florida statute, which implemented the constitutionally allowed ad valorem exemption for solar, wind, and geothermal renewable energy source devices. Under this law, production, infrastructure, and equipment related to solar, geothermal, and wind energy are granted a tax exemption from being considered as tangible personal property for the purpose of property taxes. Now, 10 years after the implementation of this exemption, renewable natural gas, or RNG, appears to be a renewable energy source type which may end up as a more significant contributor to the state energy mix than wind or geothermal. This legislation would add equipment and infrastructure related to renewable natural gas to the pre-existing property tax abatement, extending the same incentive by way of tax exemption to RNG that other renewables enjoy. This incentive will help to spur private investment in the development of more RNG in the state by reducing the carrying costs of projects by way of tax exemption, which will make more projects both viable and financeable. Nearly all RNG capture projects in the state will be set up as public-private partnerships to access the biogas produced at large public facilities, i.e. landfills and wastewater treatment facilities. These partnerships will create a royalty stream of revenue for the government partner, which will replace and exceed any revenue lost at the local level due to this proposed property tax exemption. That is the bill, Mr. Chair, and there is an amendment.
Thank you for that explanation. Members, are there questions? Questions of the sponsor? Representative Hart, you're recognized.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, and good morning, Representative. I apologize that I did not reach out to you sooner, but I want to make sure I do understand. What you're saying is that the property appraiser, it'll prevent them from increasing the value of property now, or because currently a property's value increased if they are using this renewable energy currently? Or is the value increased on properties that actually utilize renewable energies right now?
Representative Bankson, you're recognized.
Thank you. Thank you for your question. What this does is give an ad valorem tax exemption to them, the same that solar and wind have currently. This is for those that use capture equipment. Basically, right now in landfills, this energy is either lost into the air or it's burned without utilizing it. And this just allows us to capture that and actually utilize it to supplement our energy needs. So that is where the benefit comes from.
Representative Hart, you good?
Yes. Now I have one more question.
You're recognized.
Rep, does this also include machinery and other types of things that can recapture that renewable energy?
Representative Bankson.
Thank you. Yes, it's anything that does the capture process to reinsert it into the supply line.
Members, further questions? Ranking Member Escomani.
Thank you so much, Vice Chair. And I appreciate our conversation earlier today, too, Rep. I guess I'm just curious. If there is a pipeline that transmits both RNG alongside fossil fuels, right, could the pipeline qualify for this property tax break? So it's a pipeline that is still moving fossil fuels, but it also can move RNG. Would that still qualify? And if not, how would the bill prevent that from happening?
Representative Bankson, you're recognized.
Thank you. Thank you for the question. This just has to do with the capture of that in insertion into the pipeline. So it's not setting up the infrastructure that exists. This is just capturing it and allowing it to connect into that.
Follow-up, Chair?
Follow-up.
Thank you. So if, for example, you know, Chesapeake or TECO, like, they want to build a pipeline and it's for methane or some sort of biogas, but they also could use it for fossil fuels, would that still be permissible, or does that pipeline they use the subsidy for only have to be used for the biogas?
Representative Banks, and you're recognized.
I will check with that and get back with you on that more specifically to the detail on that, but that is my understanding. It is for the capture of the renewable to bring that into the supply chain.
Okay, follow-up.
Follow-up.
Thank you so much. Do we have a percentage of renewable natural gas that ends up getting mixed with fossil fuels?
Representative Banks, and you're recognized.
I don't have a specific percentage number, but I know that right now, of course, with wind and solar and these different ones, these are intermittent. I was born in Southern California. We know the rolling brownouts that occur there that are occurring in Texas. I'm all for, the cleaner the better, but this is something that will supplement an intermittent supply. And so by capturing this, this is something that's just lost. It's either methane into the atmosphere or just burned but not utilized. So this just supplies our energy chain here, and it's a great supply.
Representative Escamani, do you have another?
Just one follow-up, Chair, if I may. Thank you so much. Well, I guess my main question is, how do we ensure that this doesn't just end up becoming a tax break for fossil fuel infrastructure that can be used maybe duplicitly, but how do we make sure it's actually encouraging, what your intent is?
Representative Banks, and you're recognized.
Thank you. And again, addressed in the amendment as well, this is biogas. So this is specifically for that renewable natural gas product.
Representative Hart for another bite at the apple.
Last, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Rep, is there any concern over the environmental impact associated with this biogas productions?
Representative Banks, and you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the question. This is actually the cleanest of the burning gases, and right now, this is just escaping into the atmosphere, either as the raw methane, or it literally is being burned off but not utilized. So why not be able to capture that, help our supply chain, so that we don't fall into the same trap that we see on the West Coast, and just make sure that we have a supply of a clean burning fuel as we move towards utilizing nuclear and other clean energy.
Members, any further questions? Any further questions? See no further questions. We do have an amendment. Representative Banks, and you are recognized to explain Amendment 1.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a simple amendment. It makes technical wording changes, but does not change the substance of the bill.
Are there questions on the amendment? Members, questions on the amendment? Representative Escamani, you're recognized.
Thank you, and I apologize. I was it impacts the amendment, but it also references the bill in its entirety. This is a very fast-growing field, and so typically when we look at tax breaks, we're trying to maybe incentivize something that isn't growing, that maybe needs help growing. So what's the rationale to do a tax break for something that is growing very fast?
Representative Banks.
Okay, and again, on the amendment here, this specifically actually delineates biogas. And so, again, by supplying the lack that is in, or the intermittent solar and wind product, this will create a greater supply chain. It ends up by the return of the investment actually brings more back to the municipality than they're actually losing in the ad valorem tax exemption.
Members, we're on the amendment. Questions on the amendment? See no further questions on the amendment. Is there public testimony on the amendment? See no public testimony on the amendment. Debate. Members, is there any debate? Representative Roth in debate. Remember, we're on the amendment, Representative Roth.
Good.
I don't know exactly what that means, but
that means never mind.
All right. We're going to have time for a debate on the bill. Representative Banks, and you're recognized to close. Waiving close, is there any objection to the amendment? Any objection? Seeing no objection, let's show the amendment is adopted. We're back on the bill as amended. Do we have public testimony on the bill as amended? Up first, we have Karen Woodall with Earth Justice, who is waiving in opposition. Up next, we have Victoria Price with Chesapeake Utility Corp. Waving in support. Up next, we have Brian Busada with People's Gas. Waving in support. Up next, Brian Busada with No Petten?
No Petra.
No Petra. Yeah. All right, waiving in support. Is there any further public testimony? Seeing no further public testimony, Representative Roth, we're now in debate.
Thank you. There was some advantage to me doing a faux pas. Thank you, Chair. So, members, this is a good bill because it does a lot of interesting things. It really starts to open the door to allow us to use other forms of energy that are already being created. And that has a really simple, this concept is a really simple name. It's called innovation. It's finding new ways to create energy that are more sustainable, and we're making sure that we're using the energy in the right way and not just releasing it in the atmosphere. Representative Banks, and I thank you for this great bill because I've actually been working with farmers trying to figure out ways to do more anaerobic digesters, where you're taking horse or cow manure and vegetables and digesting them and creating gases and organic fertilizer. So this is a step in the right direction, being able to figure out a way to encourage these type of efforts. So I'm very, very much up on this bill. It's a great concept, and it gives agriculture, can also, in the future, could also give agriculture an opportunity to do some of this. So thank you for this great bill.
Members, any further debate? Ranking Member Escamani, you're recognized.
Thank you so much, Chair. And I'm just looking at the bill text because I think the bill might be exempting some of the questions that I was asking about regarding, you know, the potential mixed use, if you will. But I still want to take some more time to look at it. Maybe talk to the stakeholders more intentionally, Rep. Bankson. And I do appreciate the conversations that we've had on it as well. This is my little environmental heart here. Like, the only thing I'll say is, I think it's really important to incentivize, you know, what are sources of energy that don't end up being burned. Because when you, regardless of what you're burning, even if it's the beginning or the end, you're still burning something. And I just think that Florida has such great potential, you know, in areas like solar, for example, where I'd love to see the state do more to incentivize that growth, like battery storage and so forth, versus biogas. And I think that because the field is already growing and doing so well, I'm shy to say they need some sort of tax incentive. So I think for now I'm gonna be a no on the bill, but that doesn't mean that won't change. But right now I'm gonna just lean on my little cautious green heart, because just because the word renewable doesn't always mean it's green, members. And so with that, I'm gonna have to be no vote, but I look forward to continuing the conversation, Rep. Bankson.
Representative Tant, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to mention one thing. I'm compelled by the language in your amendment on lines 35 through 38, where you're talking about the conversion of biogas from specifically landfill waste, livestock, farm waste, including manure, food waste, and treated wastewater into renewable gas, natural gas. I'm going to be up on this bill because I think the bill is very specific. And my county, before it was cool, was doing compressed natural gas, running its school buses, as well as then becomes the whole city fleet became converted to compressed natural gas. I think that we've got to be forward thinking, and we're not all the way there yet on the fossil fuel, you know, break from that. So we've got to have a bridge while we get there. And so I'm going to be up on this bill today, and I hope others will as well. Thank you.
Members, any further debate? Any further debate? Seeing no further debate, Representative Banks, are you recognized to close on the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, thank you, Rep. Tant. You really pointed out, I think, something that may give you a little more answer to the concerns there in that amendment to clarify what that is. That being said, this legislation will put RNG on the same footing as other renewable energy source devices in the state, and would facilitate private capital investing into completing RNG production. Simply put, today with your positive support, you are creating an incentive to turn brown to green. And I look forward to your upvote. Thank you.
Rosa, please call the roll on committee substitute for House Bill 769.
Chair McClain?
Yes.
Vice Chair Buchanan?
Yes.
Majority Whip Lamarca?
Yes.
Ranking Member Escamani?
No.
Representatives Alvarez, Bankson?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Burfield?
Yes.
Campbell?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Costello?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Rayner?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
Members, by your vote, show the bill is reported favorably.
22 yeas, one nay.
Very good. Thank you, Representative Buchanan, for stepping in there for a few minutes. Members, now we will move on to PCB for regarding private activity bonds. Representative Lamarca, you are recognized to explain the PCB.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. PCB WMC 24-04 is on private activity bonds. One tool used for affordable housing and other public-private investments is the private activity bonds. These are tax-exempt bonds authorized by the federal government and administered by the Department of Bond Finance, used to fund affordable housing, manufacturing facilities, mass transportation facilities such as the Bright Line, and large-scale public works projects. These account for roughly $2.5 billion of financing-approved projects throughout the state. The purpose of the proposed committee bill is to modernize the statutes and the processes related to private activity bond administration, which have rarely been substantially changed since the program's inception in the 1960s. The bill that would make this a Gen X bill. The bill streamlines the process of allocating bonds from the state to end users by consolidating infrequently used pools, replacing existing regional pools to more accurately reflect modern usage, and removes barriers caused by the current statutory timelines to maximize efficient usage throughout the year. The bill also simplifies the statutes to make the process more straightforward and transparent to promote greater use. It permits the division to use modern technology like email instead of overnight mail for applications and phone calls for status updates. And it puts current rules in law for more efficient future alterations. And that is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Whip Lamarca, for the explanation of the PCB. Members, are there questions on the PCB? Any questions? Seeing none, there are no amendments. Is there public testimony? There is. Mark Hendrickson, Florida Association for Local Housing and Finance Authorities, waiving in support. That is all of the public testimony we had signed up beforehand. Is there anyone in the public that would like to speak on this? Seeing none. Members, we are in debate on the bill. Is there any debate? Seeing none, Representative Lamarca, you are recognized to close on the bill.
Wave close.
Representative Lamarca, having closed on the bill, please call the roll on PCB WMC 24-04 and announce the vote.
Chair McClain?
Yes.
Vice Chair Buchanan?
Yes.
Majority Whip Lamarca?
Yes.
Ranking Member Escamani?
Yes.
Representatives Alvarez? Bankson?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Burfield? Campbell?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Costello?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Rayner?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Saroy? Smith?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
22 yeas, zero nays.
Members, by your vote, we'll show the PCB for 404 reported favorably. Thank you. Rep. Lamarca, for doing that. Appreciate it. Members, now we're going to move into a staff presentation of select potential tax package concepts. Members, as we work towards producing this year's tax package, PCB, I wanted to share with you several concepts that are under consideration for inclusion in that bill. These are in addition to concepts under consideration that are contained in other member bills that we've already heard, or that we may potentially hear in the next few weeks. Kimberly Berg and Rachel Rexford on our staff are gonna walk us through several of those PowerPoint slides and give us a high-level description and brief explanation of each of these ideas. Good morning, ladies, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, members. So today, as the chair just mentioned, Rachel and I are gonna walk you through some ideas that have been brought forward for consideration. Rachel, you wanna go ahead and start us off?
So we're going to be talking about the business rent tax first. So since 1969, Florida has imposed a sales tax on the total rent charged under a commercial lease of real property. Florida is the only state that levies such a tax. The current rate is 4.5%. However, that is estimated to be reduced down to 2.2% on June 1st of this year. So the concept here is to possibly reduce the rate even further in the future.
Kimberly, one second. Rep. Roach was recognized for a question.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to get this out before we got all the way to the end. So my understanding is that the reduction of the business rent tax is tied to the replenishment of the Unemployment Compensation Trust Fund. Is that correct? And we're anticipating that that will be replenished in June?
You're recognized.
Yes, that's correct.
Wow. Okay, great. Thank you.
It's a couple months actually ahead of schedule. It was due August 1st, and it's a couple months ahead of schedule.
Great. Thank you.
You're recognized.
I just want to clarify. It goes down 2 months after it's replenished, so I think we're actually scheduled to be replenished in April, which would be that June start date for the 2%. Our next concept is related to the tourist development tax. There are five types of tourist development taxes, or TDTs, in existing law, one of which can be levied for 1 cent or 2 cents. So the total TDTs that are levied in any given county range from 0 to 6%. TDTs are currently levied in 62 of 67 counties and generally apply to transient rentals. Statewide TDT revenue has more than doubled over the past decade, from a total of about $600 million statewide in fiscal year 2012-2013 to more than $1.5 billion statewide last year. As you may recall, the Regulatory Reform and Economic Development Subcommittee last year proposed a bill, House Bill 7053, related to tourism and to TDTs. Portions of that bill were included in last year's tax package, including the requirement for all new TDTs to be approved in a referendum by voters. The concept here is for all TDTs to be limited to a certain number of years unless reapproved by voters, and for existing TDTs to expire at some point unless reapproved by voters. I will mention that those existing TDTs, any that are pledged out for debt service, would not be impacted by anything. Similar to the concept for TDTs, this concept relates to local option sales taxes, which are referred to in statute as discretionary sales surtaxes. This is the local sales tax that is added to the state sales tax in each county and applies to all transactions that are subject to the state sales tax. Current rates range from 0% to 1.5%, and these are levied in 65 of 67 counties. There are 9 types of discretionary sales surtaxes, 8 of which can be levied by the county and 1 by the school board. The concept here would be to make all 9 surtaxes subject to approval in a referendum by voters. Currently, only 6 of them have that restriction, and to require that all new surtaxes expire after a certain number of years unless reapproved by voters.
So counties that are not consolidated and have a population of at least 800,000 residents are authorized to levy a 0.5% local option sales surtax for certain healthcare services for indigent and medically poor people. Consolidated here means that the county and municipal governments have merged into one government entity. There are currently 8 counties with a population of at least 800,000 people, and all of these counties except Duval County and Miami-Dade County can levy this tax. However, Miami-Dade is authorized to levy a slightly different tax for similar purposes. So the concept here is to remove that not consolidated restriction from statute, so that Duval County, the only consolidated county in the state, can also levy the indigent medical care surtax upon approval by voters in Duval County. Okay. So the JP Pass program. So Florida currently has the tax collection diversion program, whereby state attorneys prosecute entities who have not paid sales tax and require them to pay the unpaid sales tax. Currently, 75% of the money returned to the state goes to the James Patrick Memorial Work Incentive Personal Attendant Services and Employment Assistant Program. That's the JP Pass program. The other 25% of the money goes to GR. So the JP Pass program provides monthly stipends to adult Floridians with disabilities who require personal assistance services like dressing, bathing, and grooming. The stipends offset their assistance costs so that these individuals can continue to work and live meaningful lives in their communities. So the concept here would be to increase the amount of revenue going to the JP Pass program from the tax collection diversion program to 100% of the revenue received by the state instead of just 75%. And in 2021, the legislature actually increased the percent going to the JP Pass program from 50% to 75%.
This next concept is a new potential corporate income tax credit. It would be available for companies who employ individuals who have a disability. The credit would be for $1 per hour worked by that individual, up to 1,000 hours per employee. And it would be capped at a maximum of $10,000 per company and a statewide maximum of $5 million per year. I think right now the proposal is a three-year program. This next one is a property tax concept. So, stand by. As you know, real and tangible personal property are subject to property tax based on the property's value on January 1 of a given year. For tangible personal property that is under construction, items generally become taxable on the January 1st following the year that the project is substantially completed. For substantially completed, for certain types of projects, the statutory definition is when connected with the pre-existing taxable operational system or facility. For certain power projects in particular, however, connecting the property to the pre-existing facility doesn't actually mean that the project is operational. The concept here is to clarify that for TPP constructed or installed by an electric utility, the project is not substantially completed and therefore not taxable until permits and approval for operation have been received and the project can actually go live. This item relates to one of our newer and more popular tax credit programs, the Strong Families Tax Credit. Like some of our other credit programs, the Strong Families Program allows for a credit against corporate income tax, severance taxes, insurance premium tax, alcoholic beverage taxes, or sales tax remitted under a direct pay permit. Created in 2021, the Strong Families Tax Credit Program allows credits for donations to certain qualifying charitable entities that support children and families. These entities must be Florida-based 501c3s that provide services to prevent child abuse, assist fathers in improving their parenting skills, provide books to children, assist families with specific or special needs, or provide workforce development services to certain low-income families with children. This has been an extremely popular program, and the concept here would be to increase the cap further from its current $20 million per year. We're also proposing a technical fix to clarify that the application window for this should not, in fact, open at 12 o'clock in the middle of the night on January 1st, and instead begins at 9 a.m. on the first business day of the year so that people are not getting up in the middle of the night for this program.
Okay, the last concept for today ensures that businesses have extra time to file sales tax and corporate filings during declared emergencies. DOR currently has authority to extend filing deadlines, but this idea would codify specific extensions and work in addition to DOR's current authority. So for sales tax, businesses would get an automatic 10-day extension to file monthly returns and remit owed sales tax if a state of emergency is declared by the governor within 5 business days of the monthly filing deadline. And then for corporate income returns, Florida's filing deadlines mirror those of the federal government. So for this idea, corporate taxpayers filing Florida tax returns would get an automatic 15-day extension from the date that the federal government sets for the filing deadline if a disaster is federally declared.
Mr. Chair, are the things we have prepared? We'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Thank you for the presentation. Looks like there's several questions. I'll try to get to everybody. Whip Lamarck, I'll lead off with you, and we'll work our way around.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and excellent presentation. Going back to the business rent tax, can we get an idea where current numbers, what a percentage brings in per year, and what we're looking at if we did by percentage, that type of thing?
You reckon it?
What a whole percent brings in?
Yes.
I believe it's around $360 million, but I can double check on that and confirm.
Okay. And follow up if I could?
That's about right.
Okay. Yep. And then the concept is potentially reduce rate further for a limited period of time. Can you go into that a little bit?
That's really a policy call. I think we were just making general information available to you, and then the decision makers can decide how they potentially want to apply that.
Representative Valdez, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And this may You may not be able to answer this question, but I was wondering if there, if there's any talks in reference to the Hillsborough County transportation tax dollars that we talked about last session that we tabled for this session.
You're recognized if you want to take a stab, and then I'll take one.
I can tell you I have not been involved in any discussions, so I don't know if there have been any decisions on that.
That was members only from what I've heard, so it's not, this is not coming from, right. I've heard that there is some conversation taking place amongst the delegation and trying to make those decisions. I think it's probably best that that's done that way, maybe. And so we have not had any conversations. We haven't had any conversations about it. So.
Follow up, Chair?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. You recognize.
Will that conversation, once we in the delegation finish that conversation, will that be something that would come through our committee, or will we see that? Do you know? Have an idea?
I don't.
Okay.
At this point, I do not.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Representative Hart, that was your question, I believe. Representative Tant, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I really like most of the stuff that you brought forward, maybe all of it. I haven't had a chance to review it all, of course. My favorite, of course, is the tax break for corporates who hire people with unique abilities or disabilities. I think it will incentivize people to hire people. Would it also apply to those people with disabilities who are entrepreneurs and start their own businesses?
You recognize?
So it is a corporate income tax credit program. So to the extent that they operate a business large enough to become a corporate income taxpayer, absolutely. But it is currently drafted to be a corporate income tax credit.
Thank you.
Ranking Member Escamani, you recognize.
Thank you so much, Chair. And to kind of just echo that question, I know we saw a really great bill from Rec McFarland on, you know, parental childcare support and creative approaches were used to try to broaden the beneficiaries and not just be corporations, but to be different sized businesses. Is there an opportunity maybe to look at this unique abilities tax break and maybe think if we can integrate it to other sizes of businesses? Because right now I would think Publix and Disney would be the two biggest beneficiaries, and I just feel like it would be awesome to incentivize smaller businesses to benefit too.
You're recognized.
So I can tell you that the impetus for this was from the governor's tax proposal this year. This particular program was in the governor's tax relief bill, and it seemed like a great idea. I don't know whether there is any desire to expand it maybe to other taxes or not. We were really starting from the governor's proposal.
Okay, 10-4. And then if I may, Chair?
Yeah, I just add a piece. I mean, obviously there's a value that we could put on that or whatever. And
yeah.
So it was fairly easy. Consider it.
Okay, cool. Follow up?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay. Just back to the BRT. So the BRT is going to go down ahead of schedules, I'm hearing. So we're suggesting to go further beyond what it's already scheduled. And if that's an accurate interpretation of the slide, to what amount and what is compensating for loss of state revenue? Because that, at the end of the day, we don't have a state income tax. So BRT, unfortunately, often replaces that lack of income tax.
You're recognized.
So I think this is similar to a question earlier in that we were just providing information so the policymakers could maybe decide how much and what kind of reduction they'd be interested in doing. In terms of offset, I think that's really a budget question more than anything.
Okay.
Ranking Member also, again, I think going back to Whip Lamarca's question, 1% to do one would cost $320
right.
million, dollars, $350 million to do one point. A tenth is about $35 million.
Mm-hmm.
So just in that context.
Right. So that's maybe more possible than something dramatic with this budget year?
We're contemplating what we can do.
Okay. And then follow up, Chair, if I can.
Oh, of course, yes.
Excellent.
Yeah.
For the Duval County and the sales surtax, I was intrigued that both Duval and Miami-Dade, surtax, excise. Thank you. I was intrigued that both Duval and Miami-Dade can't. Is there a reason why we don't also let Miami-Dade do it? Like, what's the, is there some local stuff I don't know about?
You're recognized, yeah.
Yes, it's because Miami-Dade can levy a very similar surtax already in the same statute section.
Perfect.
So they're already covered.
Okay, that makes sense. I figured it was something Miami-Dade. Okay. I think for now, Chair, those are my main questions.
Representative Duggan, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the Duval surtax, the referendum requirement, is that, does that mirror existing statutory language as it relates to Miami-Dade, or is that a new requirement? Couldn't we just do it through local government approval?
You're recognized.
So this particular concept is specific to the sales surtax, and part of the proposals, as we mentioned earlier, are for all nine of those to be subject to local referendum. So I think that's part of the larger goal of moving all of these to referendum. I'll also mention that this particular surtax, there was a bill that would have extended it to Duval County, I believe it was in 2009, that the governor at the time vetoed because it was not subject to a voter referendum.
You recognize?
So just to clarify, is that a sales surtax or excise surtax?
You recognize.
So this is the discretionary sales surtax, the excise tax that I think we've spoken about.
Yeah, well, that's what we talked about. Thank you.
Members, any other questions?
I'm sorry, Representative Roth.
You're recognized.
You almost forgot me, Chair. Thank you. I wanted to talk about construction work in progress. It seems like this is a business-friendly concept. What you're saying is you want to have it more definitive when you would have to pay a personal property tax if it's substantially completed. So that's saying that once you have all the permits in place, if you had all the permits in place and everything by before January 1st, then you would pay the tax based on the full value. So my question is kind of a thought, Chair, about why not make it a percentage? Instead of 100%, maybe make it 90%. I don't know if that's appropriate to ask that question. You understand what I'm asking?
You're recognized. I'll take a stab at it, too. I'm
going to see if I understand what you're asking. So, as you noted, this is business-friendly. In general, things do not become taxable until they are operational. And for TPP, sometimes it's a little hard to know when something is operational and therefore should be taxable. Right. So there's an existing statutory definition here that basically says if it's substantially completed and it meets these requirements, then it should become taxable on January 1. The concept here is to try to clarify that there are these certain types of projects, I think solar is one of them, where just because the building is done doesn't mean they can actually operate until there are additional requirements met, permitting and things. And so it's just trying to clarify that in those situations, until it can actually operate as intended, it shouldn't be taxed as though it was operational. Is that helpful? Did that get to your question?
Yeah, you're recognized for a follow-up.
Yeah, so yes, that does get to my question, whether or not is fully operational when it gets the permits. I don't think that it may not still be fully operational. So that's why I was asking about a percentage.
You're recognized.
That may be true. I'm not a construction expert, so I don't want to speak to that necessarily, but my understanding is from the industry that they believe at the point they have pulled those, they've received their permits and their approvals, that that is an appropriate time for it to be considered taxable.
Representative Roth, just from a construction perspective, normally when when you build a residential house, if you finish it, let's just say you finished it on December 31st of this year, it would be fully taxable as it relates to property tax, it would be fully taxable in the next cycle. If I don't get a CO for it, if I don't get the CO till January 1st of the following, then I would pay tax on just the property bare raw like it is. In this case, you have businesses who are building large scale projects of some sort that have a lot of equipment on it that would be subject to TDT. It's not even operational yet. They haven't even turned the switches on or anything like that. And so this would it's just a timing issue. In other words, instead of having to pay that entire TDT in the year that they're that they've drawn the permit in, the work hasn't been completed, so they wouldn't have to, this would just move it off into the next year, which is reasonable in my opinion, just because they're not even, it hasn't started generating power, or it hasn't started doing, you know, whatever the project might be. And so, and you could look at it too. I mean, I think there are some, there's probably some other, well, most buildings would fall under the scenario I gave you in the first one, but this would be more of along the lines of distribution type things or whatever it might be. So just, I think, again, just my part would be, I think it does create some fairness in how the TPP is paid. So, ranking member, you're recognized.
Thank you so much. I think the main company is FPL that wants this, just for context too, because they're building solar arrays in rural areas, which are not totally operational until they, you know, are able to flip that switch. But I'm curious about the impact on rural counties, because I would think that part of these large projects are more in rural areas. Has any contemplation to not only the impact on rural counties, but also a guarantee that the savings go down to ratepayers versus shareholders?
You're recognized.
I honestly don't have any details on where these projects are or how that would work. It's something we can look at and get back with you.
Members, any further questions? Any further questions? All right. Seeing none. One more question. You're recognized, Representative Roth.
Thank you, Chair. So any further discussion on what it means on the business rent tax, potentially reduce that rate even further for a limited period of time? So a limited period of time. What does that mean?
You're recognized.
I think that's just a contemplation that this could potentially be a use of non-recurring funds versus recurring funds. It could be a more limited time to change what kind of financial impact it has on the state.
Does that mean you're saying that you would take funds and put it towards reducing that business tax, the business rent tax, for a limited amount of time, and then that's what I'm doing understanding. I may be reading it all wrong, but it sounds like almost like the rate, sales tax rate would go down, yep, and then come back up after that limited amount of time.
Representative Roth, it would be a temporary reduction, much like the one that we did. We temporarily reduced it from December of 2023 till August. August when this when the other tax was supposed to go down in August, but we used non-recurring money to do that, so it didn't hit our recurring funding pot. It was a non-recurring pot of money, but we were able to use it in a temporary fashion, and that's something that we're contemplating the same this year as well. Whether if we have any recurring or and then maybe we can use both, use a blend of both, so that's we're still exploring those options.
With the final intent that the rate would never go back up. I mean, you can't predetermine that, but that would be the goal.
Yes. Yes. Yep. Yeah. Ranking member, you recognize.
Thank you so much. I guess I'm curious of what is not in the presentation from the governor's proposals, and maybe it's not going to be in the tax package. Might be a question for the chair more, but I know one of the proposals was around property insurance taxes. Is that being considered, in the tax package? It was around, like, the taxation paid on property insurance. I think that's what it was, Chair. Is that something we're considering or no?
Yeah, we are. There's several, obviously the governor, presented several tax ideas, in his package they sent over. Obviously the sales tax holidays or all those things are in there. And then there were some other new concepts. One of them was the disabilities, the unique abilities concept. Policy premium tax reduction. So those things are being considered as well. Mm-hmm. Any other questions, members? Seeing none. Kim and Rachel, thank you for that presentation. We appreciate it. Members, that concludes our committee agenda for today. We do have another meeting scheduled for next Wednesday, February 14th at 2 o'clock. Representative Killebrew moves we rise. Without objection, show the meeting adjourned. I know.